I want to thank everyone very much for coming, and this is our last week of Masechet Shabbos this week. You know, next Monday night, it's already the Siyum, Kuf Nun Vav. So Baruch Hashem, very lucky to be learning Masechet Shabbos together, and we're going to learn now a halacha that nobody seems to know, that this is a halacha. A lot of scary halachos. Okay, so the halacha is that the rabbis were very worried about people writing on Shabbos. It's a biblical prohibition to write. Included in the prohibition of writing is also a prohibition of erasing. So now let's see the next Mishnah. When you have guests over, you have an event, you can count your guests or count your appetizers, your dishes, as long as you're not counting it off of something written. You can count it by heart, but you can't count it from a written text. So what was the fear? The fear was that there'd be people, as we'll see in the Gemara, there'd be people who would write down on a little notepad, I have the Reichman family and the Schwartz family and the, you know, you can't hear from this? What's that? If it's too close, it disturbs the Zoom. Yeah. But you can't hear me without this? No, it's on. It's on. It's on. Yeah. So, yeah, it hurts the Zoom if it's too close to my mouth. So, you know, you can have, you know, a lot of families that you invited over, and you write down on your pad, I have the Reichman family over, and the Schwartz family over, and the Siegel family over, and then as each family comes in, you erase. Okay, Reichman's here, Schwartz is here, Siegel's here. So that's a problem. You know, let it, Sasunas and Ashkenazi, right? We have to have Persian and Syrian. So,
The fingers are okay,
but to erase on a pad is not okay. So since erasing is not okay, we'll see, this is one of the reasons, they prohibited even reading off of the pad. So you're allowed to read but from your memory what dishes you're going to serve. I'm going to serve gazpacho, and then I'm going to serve fish, and then I'm going to serve chicken, and then I'm going to serve desserts. But to read it off of a pad, you're not allowed to, because you might lead you to erase things. So that's what the Mishnah says. Mona Adamus Orchav. You're allowed to count off your guests, that's par perosav, or your appetizers, mipiv, from your own mouth, from your memory. Avaloman aksav, but not from a written text. All right, that's one law. Now another law about doing lotteries. Throwing lots. A person has different portions. He can do a lottery. Okay, you're going to get this one. You're going to get that one. As long as all the portions are of equal size. But if you have a bigger portion and a smaller portion, and then through the lot, this one gets the big portion, that one gets the small portion, it's not allowed. Another law about lots on Yom Tov. The Kohanim, Umatilin Chaloshin al Hakadshim b'Yom Tov, Karbanos that were slaughtered on Yom Tov, the Kohanim were allowed to have lots to decide who gets which piece of meat. Avolo al Manos, but portions from before Yom Tov, they're not allowed to make lots on Yom Tov to decide who gets which portion to eat. All right, let's start with the first law. You're allowed to count off your guests or your dishes from memory, but not from a written text. My time, what's the reason? Rabbi Amar Gzeira Shema Yimchok, what I just mentioned. We're worried that you might be erasing things. Right, you're going to see that Rashi says the fear is that you might realize you didn't prepare enough food, and you're going to be upset with yourself that you invited more people than you have food for. You start erasing from your pad how many dishes. Instead of serving 5 dishes, now you're only serving 4 dishes. No one should think that they didn't get the things that they were supposed to get. So we're worried about erasing. Abayam, Abayam is a different reason. Zera, we're worried. Shema Yikra B'shtari Yad Yotos. Yeah, question, Shana. Yes. Very good. Shana raised an excellent question, right? The biblical erasing is to erase in order to write. So here you're just erasing, not to write. But I think still, it's still the biblical act of erasing. So since it's the act, even though it wouldn't technically be the biblical prohibition, it still made a decree, don't read off of a text. Abaye Amar Abaye said a different reason. This is a challenging law also. Gzeira Shema Yikra B'shtari Adyotos. There are certain things we're not allowed to read on Shabbos. We're not allowed to read our business reports. Let's say you have a program. The program takes all of your business emails and automatically prints them out. So you love working so much. You're such a great businessman. You say, listen, on Shabbos, I'm not going to turn on the computer. I'm just going to go to the printer and I'm going to read all the reports. The minute Shabbos is over, I'm going to start working. You're not allowed to do that. Shtari Adyotos. You're not allowed to read business reports on Shabbos. That's the big challenge with all the Jewish newspapers. Because all the Jewish newspapers, the only reason why we buy them is because of Shabbos. Because on Shabbos we can't read the computers. So that's why we buy the newspaper. Otherwise, we wouldn't be buying the Jewish newspapers. Nobody buys the secular newspapers because you can read it all on the computer. So the only reason why anybody buys a Jewish newspaper is because of Shabbos. So for the Jewish newspaper to survive, they have to have advertisements. But the advertisements are already Shtari Adyotos. The advertisements is already business. Go with me to this place, spend money on this, buy a house, this, that. That's all Shtari Adyotos. So you have to be disciplined. You can have the Jewish newspaper and read all the non-advertisements things on Shabbos. You can read the news, you can read the Divrei Torah, and then on Matzah Shabbos, you can read the advertisements. But on a Shabbos, you're not supposed to be reading the advertisements because of Shtari Adyotos. You're not supposed to be reading business affairs on Shabbos. So according to this view, the reason why the rabbis prohibited reading off of a menu, dishes, or reading off of a invited list, you know, who came, who showed up, is because if you could read that, people would then be reading their business affairs. So to keep people from reading their business affairs, they said, don't read this. Yeah, question.
You're allowed to read books, right?
Yeah, as long as it gives you pleasure.
So if the books is about, you know, how to improve your business and how to do this business and that, you're not allowed to read that?
Depends if it's, it's a little bit technical, but you know, if you're, let's say, reading something as history, you know, and the history happens to be about business, so that's fine. You're reading it for enjoyment. But if you're reading something to improve your business, some text that's going to help you do the business better, no, that you can't read on Shabbos. So my Beinai, what's the difference between these two reasons? Ika Beinai, the difference would be if you wrote the rest, you wrote the menu or you wrote the list of guests, the Kasav Akosel, you wrote it on a wall, umidli, and it's all the way high up on the wall. So lamadam Hashem yimchok, if the reason why the rabbi said don't read off of invitations, don't read off of lists, is because they're worried you're going to erase things. Lo chayshinan, you can't get up there. It's up on the top of the wall. You're not going to get a ladder to climb up to go erase. You're not going to do that. Lamadam Hashem yikra, but if we're worried that if you're reading, you know, this type of stuff, you might be reading business stuff, and Chayshina, we should still be worried. So Gemara says still, even if you say that the issue is that we're worried that you might erase, we should also have the other fear, that you shouldn't be allowed to read off of a list, because that might lead you to read business things. And furthermore, just because it's high up, does that mean you're not worried that you might erase? We learned in the Mishnah. We learned earlier in the Masechta, the second chapter, the Yikra Loraner. And I let her read to the light of a candle on Friday night because we're worried that maybe the light will flicker and then a person might adjust the flame, just the wick. Rabba said, even if that candle is two floors up, we're still worried you might adjust it. Even if the candle is two mardos tall, a mardas is the length of the swatch, that they would use to hit the animal, to travel with the animal. You have this big, like, whip, and you hit the animal to get it going. So Mardas is also along with. Even if you have 10 floors, you got, you know, some skyscraper, and you have a candle up there on the 40th floor. Lo Yikra, you shouldn't reach to the light of that candle. I wouldn't mean, you're going to adjust it. You can't get up there. It's all the way up there. You can't adjust it. But apparently, when the rabbis make a decree, the decree is now the decree. There was a reason that you might adjust. But then the reason's put aside. Now there's a rule. The rule is the rule under all circumstances. You can't reach to the light of a candle. So the same thing should be true here. Ella, so what would the difference be between these two opinions, whether the issue is, because we're worried you might erase, or the issue is, we're worried you might read business matters? If you wrote the list on a wall, umichti, and it's far beneath you. If the worry is that you might erase, so chayshina, we're still worried that you might go and erase. But if the fear is that we're worried that you might start reading business affairs, lo chayshinan, that we're not worried that you're going to now read business affairs, because gudu b'shtar lo michlof, a person's not going to think, oh, if I was able to read off of a wall, I'm able to read the Wall Street Journal. You know, it's very different things. The Wall Street Journal is moved from place to place. Whatever's written on a wall, that's stuck there. So the fact that somebody could read something off of a wall is not going to lead him to think that he can now read, you know, the Wall Street Journal or Grant's Investors Newsletter. He's not going to be thinking, oh, I can start reading business affairs. But the same question you had before, the same one who said that we're worried, according to the view that says that we're worried he might end up reading business affairs, we should also tell him he shouldn't be able to read things that he might end up erasing. And here it could erase it because it's beneath him. All right, so what the difference between the two opinions be? Elika may not, the difference would be the chayek atav of Pinkas. If something was engraved with a knife on a board of wood or on another type of a board, if the fear is that we're worried, don't read things off of a list because you might erase things. Lo chashinan, we're not worried. But if we're worried, don't erase things because. Don't read it, because if you read this, you can read business. So we're still worried. Chayshina. Gemara says still the same questions. If we're only worried about you might erase, but lechol shem yikra, we should also be worried. And if we let you to read off of a list, you're going to start reading business affairs. You're going to tell me tavu pingas b'shtar lo michlof. The same type of things that we said earlier. What's engraved on a board is not going to be confused with a printed book like the Wall Street Journal. But tan b'lim din a b'raisa. Mona Adam Kam Bifnim. The Braisa says a person is allowed to count off his guests, how many are sitting inside, the Kami Bachutz, and how many is going to sit outside, seat outside, the Kam Manos Asa Laniach Bifnim, and how many portions he's going to put out before them. Miksav Shal Gabi Akosel. He can count it off of writing on a wall. But not from writing that's engraved on a board. So, hechidami. Now, what's the case? If it's actually written with ink, who cares? Written with ink on a wall. Or written with ink on a board. You should always be worried. He might erase. El abdechayik. Must be the difference is something engraved on a board. Vekatani says, michtav shal gabi akosel. You're allowed to read off of a wall because that you won't confuse with a text, with something written on a parchment. But you're not allowed to read off of a board. So you see from the Braisa that you're not allowed to read off of a board. So because we're worried you might end up reading off of text. So again, we're back to the question. So what's really the argument here? Whether the issue is erasing or the issue is we're worried it's going to lead you to read from a business text. El Olam, so I'll tell you what the difference is. Because of Akosel, he wrote, let's say, the menu, or he wrote the list of guests on the wall, umidli, and it is very high. Now, What's written on a wall is not going to lead you to start writing, to start reading from, if you can read on a wall, it's not going to lead you to starting to read the Wall Street Journal, because there's a big difference between what's on a wall and a printed movable text. However, the view that says you're not allowed to, the reason why you can't read off of menus is because it might lead you to erase, even on a wall, you might erase. But if the issue is because you'll be confused, you'll start thinking you can read business, if it's on a wall, you're not going to think you can read a business book. Udu kakashu le rabba. Now this, the rabba had a question. We find that the sages don't make distinctions. Rabba Tanai, this point of Rabba is actually a machlokes Tanaim, and not everybody agrees to it, and therefore we can say Abaye holds like the Tana who believes that the sages do make distinctions in their decrees. They don't say, well, once there's a decree, it applies in all cases. And Rav Bibi holds like Rabba that the sages make blanket decrees. Where do we see this argument, whether or not they make blanket decrees? The Tanaim went in a Braisa. Mona Adam es Orchav, ves Parparosav, Mipiv. A person can count off the guests or the dishes by heart, Avalom Aksav, but not from anything written. However, Rab Acha Matri Miktav Shal Gabi Akosav. Rab Acha says you can count it off, read it off of something written if what was written on a wall. Hey Chidami, now what's the case? If it's actually written, if it was written lower than where you are, then writing on a wall should be the same problems as reading off of writing that's on a notebook, because in both cases we should be worried you might be erasing. Because of a midli, must be it's written higher than where you are. So you see that there's actually a machlokas tanoim, that there is a tana who holds that if it's not something that which you would erase, then you are allowed to read it off. Shmamina, and that is, in fact, the proof. Vani Tanoi, now this Machlokas Tanoim, Kani Tanoim, is like the following, also Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanoim went in a Braisa. Ein Roen B'mira B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to look, according to the Tanakama, you're not allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos. Why? Because the mirror has a sharp edge. You might notice that you have some hair where you don't want it to be. And you might take the sharp edge of the mirror and cut off the hair. Rabbi Meir Matir, the Mara Kavua Bakota. Rabbi Meir says if the mirror is mounted on the wall, then you're allowed to look at it on Shabbos. So what's Rabbi Meir? Apparently, you don't make a blanket decree. Yeah, there is a fear that your person might use the mirror to cut. If he sees that he's got hair, he's going to now cut. But if it's mounted on a wall, when you don't have that fear, then it is permitted. Maishna Kavua Bakota. Why does Rabbi Meir permit it if it's mounted on a wall? If it's that because adahachi v'hachi, that by the time he'll go get scissors, mitker, he'll remember. So shena kavua nami. We should say the same thing. If it's not mounted on a wall, adahachi v'hachi, by the time he gets scissors, mitker, he'll remember that it's Shabbos, and he's not going to cut off the hair. So what's the answer? So hacha b'mirah shel matechas askina. The Brice is talking about the mirror of metal, and since it's made out of metal, it itself could be used to cut the hair. And the answer of why can't you look in it? Why did they say you're not allowed to look into a mirror of metal? Because a person might use it to cut off some leftover stray hairs. So that's exactly this point. So if it's a loose mirror, then we have a fear. Then you might use the mirror to cut off hairs. But if it's a mirror that's mounted on a wall, then we're not really afraid he's going to use it to cut off hairs because it's mounted on the wall. So since we're not really worried that he's going to use it to cut off hairs, that's why the sages, according to Rabbi Meir, it is permitted. Whereas according to the Chachamim, they say, no, once there's a rule, the rule is absolute. Even if the rules no longer apply, the reasons for the rules don't apply. But once there was a rule, the rule has to be observed in all situations, and therefore, even if it's mounted on a wall, you cannot look on it.
So the rules are like, you cannot trust yourself.
Very true. We can't trust ourselves. That's a lot of halacha. We don't trust ourselves.
If you go to a kosher restaurant, for example.
Yeah.
And let's say, How do you know that the food is 100% checked out? Maybe they brought the letters that Moshiach was the shrofing, How are you 100% sure then? Then we cannot eat anymore in kosher places anymore?
So, no, we do trust. We have a rule that we love our fellow Jews. And Jews are all holy. And so, you know, hopefully the owner of the restaurant is himself somebody who has the strength of character that if the food's not kosher, he would throw it out. And even if he's a little bit not as strong as we would hope he would be, we hope that the Mashgiach is strong. That the Mashgiach knows that he's being watched by God. The most important thing is that the people have kosher to eat.
I hope so.
It's more than hope so. We trust our fellow Jews. We love our fellow Jews. Eid Echad Naman Bisur. We trust even a single Jew about a matter being prohibited and permitted. As long as they're, you know, religious people. You know, they have Yirat Shamayim. I remember once, when I was teaching, I had a student who came from Belarus, and the boy knew not his fault, he knew absolutely nothing. He had never been exposed to anything Jewish. And he was with me in my class for maybe 4 or 5 months, and he wasn't keeping anything yet. Not Shabbos, not kosher. I don't blame him, no background. He came in age 20. And then he got a job as a mashgiach in a restaurant. I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. Nobody called me, but like, whoa, I don't understand that.
He wasn't keeping anything.
Got a job. I don't know. Maybe he was like the second, under secretary Mashgiach. I hope. Nobody called me, but it was pretty scary. He didn't know anything.
One of them was a waiter too. Mashgiach and waiter.
That's okay. He could be a waiter also, but the issue is he has to have Yirat Shamayim. He has to fear God. That's the biggest thing. All right, Tanur Rabbanan, we're going to Braisa. Ksava Mahalich Tachas Hatsura. Let's say you have the writing underneath a mounted statue, right? There's a statue on the wall, and underneath there's a little writing underneath it. It says, Buffalo killed by President Teddy Roosevelt, right? You go to Congress, you go into the office of Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. He's got this huge head of an elk on top of the wall. And he'll say, well, I killed it on this and this date, right?
That's when. Tom Cotton?
No, Jerry Moran.
But
Tom Cotton also has a big thing on his wall. I don't know.
So. Competition, because they were across.
Yeah, I think so. They had competitions. Good memory.
Who was bigger?
Cotton and Moran had a competition. Who had the bigger... the bigger head on the wall. So you have this thing on the wall, and it says underneath it, you know, killed on this and this date, you know, this and this hunting trip. Or Tachas Hadyuknos, right? Again, you go to Congress, they have the statue of Moses. It says underneath it, Moses. They have, George Washington, right? The things written under the statues. So you're allowed to read that. Asa L'krosa B'Shabbos. You can't read it on Shabbos, because if you read that, it might lead you to reading the Wall Street Journal. Now, Udiyuk Ma'atzma, now looking at these statues, Af B'chol Asa L'Istakelba, even during the week, you shouldn't be looking at the statues. Mishum Shenamar Al Tifnu El Elilim, Pasuk says, don't turn to the statues. Ma'i Talmuda, how do you see it from this Pasuk? Am Rav Chanin, Al Tifnu El Midatchem. Don't turn to that which comes from your own heart. Don't turn to look at the things that you thought of creating. You shouldn't be looking at those things in general. All right, now the next point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that a person can do a lot with his children, to do a lottery, to divide up portions as long as they're all of equal size. Okay. So it's interesting. The Mishnah doesn't say you just do a lot about portions. It says you can do it with your kids. In banav ibnei beso in, you can do a lottery with your children. But with somebody else, not if he's not from the family. My time. What's the reasoning? Answer the Gemara, because Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Bnei Chabura, if you have a group, a traveling group, they're traveling together, but then they sit down to eat separately. Hamakbidim zel zet. And they're not forgiving to each other. They're not forgiving. You know, if you take some of my pickles, you have to, I come back to you the next day, right? Give me back some pickles. So then, if they do this on Shabbos, Ovrim, Mishumida, Umishumishkal, Umishuminyin, it's very likely that they're going to violate prohibitions. The sages on Shabbos did not allow you to do business, even about food, the way you would do it during the week. So you're not allowed to weigh out food to somebody else on Shabbos. Now that are measure out a particular amount of food to somebody on Shabbos. But these people, they're so particular with each other, they're going to be doing that. And they're also going to violate Mishum Lovin, right, as we saw yesterday. You're not allowed to borrow food from somebody on Shabbos and Yom Tov using the word halva'ah, which is normally the term of borrowing money for 30 days. Uporin b'Yom Tov, you're going to have people paying back things on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're going to write things down that they're so particular.
Rabbi, what's wrong with, let's say, you know...
One second. Now, turning to Kufim Testament Beis, Ukedivrei Hillel, Af Mishum Ribbis. Now, according to Hillel, as we learned yesterday, says you're not allowed to borrow a loaf to pay back a loaf 30 days later. Why? Because as we saw with life, prices can go up. It could be that, you know, toilet paper goes 12 rolls for $2.99, and then things will happen. 30 days from now, toilet paper goes for $12 for 6 rolls of toilet paper. So that could be ribbis. That could be interest. You borrowed $2. You pay back, because it's a month later, $12. So according to Hillel, you're not allowed to borrow, even during the week, a loaf for a loaf. Because when you borrow a loaf for a loaf and there's a time frame, it's going to take 30 days for you to give back the loaf. By the time you give it back, you might be giving back something which is worth more than what you got. You have to, if you want to borrow a loaf, you have to say, oh, but the loaf is only worth, you know, 75 cents. So no matter what happens to the price of wheat and the price of yeast and the price of flour and the price of baking, if the prices go up for the loaves, I'm giving you 75 cents. I'm going to give you in a month time the value of what this is, not another thing of this. So what do you see here? So the Gemara now explains, you see that if people are particular with each other, right? If somebody's forgiving, so listen, you're my friend, Go to the snack drawer, take whatever you want, I don't care. So people are forgiving, so then there are no problems. But if people are particular, you took 2 pickles of me, I want you to give me back 2 pickles. So people are forgiving, they end up getting into all sorts of prohibitions. They'll start weighing things on Shabbos, they'll start lending things on Shabbos, the word alva. They'll start, they might get into the problems of ribbis, which is a problem during the week too. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The Mishnah says you can't do a lottery to give out food items to people who aren't from your household, because if you're doing a lottery, it means you're particular. And if you're particular about how much you're giving to this one and how much you're giving to that one and who's getting what, you get into problems. You start writing, you start erasing, you get into all sorts of problems. So the Gemara says, one second, yuck, if that's the issue of why we're worried with a lottery, even if it's children, you shouldn't do a lottery, because the lottery shows you're particular. So I said, no, one of them, based on your time with your own children, could do a lottery. Could you have Yehuda Marav? That's based on the lesson of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Mutter lahalvos, one of them, beso, beribis. You're even allowed during the week to lend to the members of your own household with interest. Even though they made lots of laws, don't lend with interest. Don't do things that could lead you to lend with interest. But to your own kids, you could say, listen, you need money? All right, 15% interest per day. Here's money, 15% interest per day. And after a week, he now pays back a lot of money that you can do. They latim on tam ribis. Because to teach your children you can show them all sorts of things. Sometimes it's tough. You know, interest is really painful. It's painful to have to see the price going up more and more and more and more. So they'll appreciate what interest is, and then they'll be careful not to lend with interest. Because the bottom line is, it's really not lending them with interest. If they're living in your household, you're basically giving to yourself. You're giving money to yourself. They're still your dependents. You're giving to yourself. So that's the same thing over here. The reason why they're doing the lottery is not to be particular who gets what. The lottery is just to make sure that each person gets equally and that there's no jealousy between them. If that's the case, that you're allowed to lend with interest to your dependents and have them understand what interest is, so then why did the Mishnah say, but not if the portions are different sizes? Why can't you do that? Not only that, should also be allowed. So my answers, right? And the reason why we said you can't do a, the thinking is, the reason why you can't do a lottery when they're different sizes is because that might teach people that they could gamble. And we don't want people to be doing gambling. But if it's all the members of your own household, then there's no problem of gambling, because gambling is a form of theft, rabbinically, but it's all your money. So there's no problem. So my answer is, Eina Chanami, you're right. There are things missing. This is where we have to say like this. You're allowed to do a lottery on Shabbos to divide up to the kids on your own table, even large portions against small portions. My timer, why? Kid Rav Yehuda Marav, based on the lesson of Rav Yehuda Marav, since Rav Yehuda Marav said, you're allowed to lend money with interest to your own dependents, because since they're your own dependents, so it's really not interest. It's really just education to teach them what interest feels like, because it's really not interest, because it's all your money going on within your own circle. So the same thing is true. You're allowed to do a lottery to give them larger portions and smaller portions through the lottery, because that's not going to teach them, I should go gamble and I can, you know, spin the wheel of fortune, because they realize it's all really our money. It's all the family's money. It's just within our own money. But for outsiders, then not. In Banim Ibn Beso In, you can do a lottery with the members of your household. In Acherim Lo, but with people that are outside of your household, you can't do a lottery. My time of why? Kid Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. That's based on the reason of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, that when people are particular with each other, then they end up doing lots of prohibitions. They do Shabbos prohibitions. They do weekday prohibitions. So if you're doing a lottery with people outside of your household, then you're being particular with them, and then you end up doing prohibitions. Now, Mana Gedolah Kenan Magat Ketana, if you want to do a lottery and to divide and to have larger portions and smaller portions, even Bachol La'acherim Asa, even during the week, you can't do that to people outside of your household, because my time, if you do it with people outside of your household, you'll get in the habit of games of fortune. Games of fortune, before you know it, is slot machines and gambling, and that's a terrible thing. That's a form of theft. So my time is Shum Kubya. We don't want people to ever gamble, because gambling is a form of theft. It's rabbinic theft. It's not biblical theft. Biblically, everybody there is willful. They all want to do it. And you can be mochel your money, but it is still rabbinically a form of theft, and therefore, to avoid people getting into the habit of ever gambling under any circumstances, therefore, you shouldn't be doing a lottery with people outside of your household, larger portions and smaller portions. Gabriel, I saw you had a question.
No, so does it mean that with playing the lotto is not allowed? Or unless you offer the money and basically you...
So, you know, I'm not so sure. Well, I think the lotto, if you buy one ticket, post can think that that's okay, because that's not really $1 or whatever it is, five shekel. That's like a small amount. That's not really where you get involved in the issues of theft. But I think, you know, we shouldn't tell this to Mr. Adelson, but Mr. Adelson, but I think to go to Las Vegas or to Atlantic City, I don't think there's anything permitting it under any circumstances. I think if a person's business is to gamble, he's not a kosher witness. And even if it's not his business, to just do it as entertainment, I think
you can put the logic and say that you cannot, for example, have finance the casino construction?
Oh, I don't know. We're talking about rabbinic sins. I don't know. That's already their decisions to have a casino. But, I don't know that. I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But I think that, sometimes people, to relax, they have a poker game. And for years, a bunch of guys will get together and they have a small pot. And I don't think it's allowed. On Pi Halacha, I think it's theft.
Just a family poker game.
Family poker game.
So can you play the lotto if it's drawn, it's
going to
be on a Friday night?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but I think that gambling, casual gambling, poker, small little things, I don't think it's allowed. Yeah, question.
It's not because the teaching came out of the Jews. The teaching them the excitement.
Also wrong, right?
I mean, in a way, I don't know.
Right, so Izzy points out, right, we don't want it to make it exciting for them to think that this is a good activity that they should now go ahead and do. All right, now talking about another lottery. Please, a question. Baruch, yeah.
Sitting in a wedding next to Yosef.
Yeah.
And they're serving us chicken and meat.
Yeah, okay.
Each plate.
Right.
Let's say I don't like the chicken.
Yeah.
But I like the meat. And
yeah.
Yosef doesn't like the meat, he likes the chicken. Can we do exchange?
Yeah, you guys love each other. You're not matpig. You're not particular. You're not going to say, Yosef, you took
so
one pickle.
Why is it not allowed then? I don't understand that.
No, because if you're doing a lottery, you're saying, we're going to draw lots. Who gets what? That means you're very particular about each amount.
Before that, you said exchanging, we cannot exchange of food, among the siblings and
you can't if the portions are, if people are particular about bigger portions and smaller portions.
Both parties are happy.
If people are not particular, it's okay. Matilin chalashim, you're allowed to have lots for pieces of a carbon that was slaughtered on Yom Tov, but not for the pieces of the carbon from before Yom Tov. Maya v'lo alamanos, what does it mean, not for the portions of before? Amar of Yaakov, brother Bas Yaakov. You can't have a lottery amongst the Kohanim to divide up the portions that have been slaughtered before Yom Tov. Sheet, of course, now the Tamar's look to say, since the Pasuk says, the prophet is criticizing the Jews. He says, you're like the Kohanim, you're like people who are fighting all the time. So therefore, I would have thought, afilu manos tochol nami. So even the portions of the week, we should say that we should allow them to divide up. And that's the chiddush, that we do not do so. Right? And we feel that that's also prohibited. That's the chiddush, that we don't make that prohibition. I'm sorry. I would have thought that because the Kohanim fight a lot, therefore we should allow the Kohanim to do a lot on Shabbos for the weekday portions so that they wouldn't fight. That's the chiddush, that we don't let them do that. Because we have a rule that we don't want lots done on Yom Tov if they could have been done before Yom Tov. I'm Rabbi Yaakov, brother Bas Yaakov. So now some more things on this Amora. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov, said, any person who davens to Hashem that his enemy should get a punishment because of what he did to him, they're not going to bring him into the porch, the area of Hashem. How do we know this? Elaim, if you're going to tell me Shem Dechsev, because it says about Achav that he was supposed to die when he fought against the king of Syria. And he had false prophets telling him he would win in that war against the king of Syria. And the prophet said to him, Vayomer Hashem, the prophet said that Hashem had said, who's going to seduce Achav to get him to go into the war? Right? That he shouldn't listen to what I'm telling him. And this one said, I'll seduce him. This one said, I'll seduce him. And his spirit came out. Hashem stood before God. I'm going to seduce him. Because I'm going to go out, I'm going to be the spirit of false prophecy. And all of his prophets are going to tell him the wrong things. God said, okay, go seduce him. You'll succeed. Go out and do this. So this is what Micha tells Achav, that even though you heard from all these prophets, you're going to succeed. It's all a false prophecy. Right? I mean, we say, my ruach, who is this spirit that caused all the prophets to have a false prophecy? This is the spirit of Navos. Navos was the owner of the vineyard that Achav was jealous about, and Isabel killed Navos, and Achav took the vineyard. We might say, what does it mean, go out? God is saying, go out from my portion. So Navos, he's causing Achav to get a punishment that Achav deserves, but because he's causing someone to get a punishment, he can no longer be in the portion of Hashem. But Doma also minded time. Maybe the reason why he couldn't be in the portion of Hashem is because the pasuk says, "Dover shkarm leikul neged'ena." Hashem doesn't like falsehood, and Navos was telling the prophets a false thing. Achav would succeed in the war. Okay, so there's another source. We find it with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar used to take advantage of the kings that he conquered and make them give him homosexual relations. And he used to, you know, throw lots. Which king he's going to force to indulge him in his homosexual relations. So when it was the day of King Tzidkiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar's male organ became very long, and he wasn't able to do it. So the pasuk says, Savata kolon mikavod. You were filled with more embarrassment than honor. That's Nebuchadnezzar. He got more disgrace than the honor that he was getting. Drink and become disgusting through your orla. This is Tzidkia. So Tzidkia himself was punished because he caused Nebuchadnezzar to be punished, because Nebuchadnezzar was trying to harm him. So I said, well, that's not a proof. How did Kulin come with Nebuchadnezzar? First of all, the whole pasuk is not talking about Tzidkia, it's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, and furthermore, Tzidkia Tzadika, my Havli Elam Ebedle. Why would Tzidkia be punished? He's the victim. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marab, B'shosh B'kish Osher Rasha, Lassus Losu Tzadikach. When this Russia wanted to do this to the Tzadik, then Hashem punished this Russia. Elameyacha. So what's the source that if you cause somebody to be punished because you complained about him to Hashem, you're thrown out of Hashem's portion? So in the pasuk in Mishlei, Gam Anosh, but Tzadik Lo Tov. It's not good for a Tzadik to cause punishment. And therefore, Ein Lo Tov El Ra. That means when a Tzadik causes punishment, it's bad. See, when the pasuk says, God, you're not someone who desires wickedness. That which is ra, that which is bad, can't live with you. One second, let's just finish. Tzadik ata Hashem. Hashem, you are righteous. The opposite of rasha. You will not have in your residence those who are bad. So you see that, you know, sometimes people do things, you're upset at them. Say, well, Hashem, you should just punish that person. It's not so good. You should say, Hashem, make that person do tshuva. Hashem, make that person become a better person. But don't ever wish any harm on any person. Those are the enemies of the Jewish people. But this doesn't apply to the non-Jewish enemies. Non-Jewish enemies, we should celebrate their downfall. But the Jewish enemies who cause you trouble, just daven that they should do tshuva and they should change their ways. But no harm should befall anybody.
So the Bezdin is not allowed to make a judgment against a criminal?
The judgment of the Bezdin is just a favor for the criminal. It's to help him out. I saw this beautiful video on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yoel Gold had a video about the guy who was the founder of Meal Mart. So there's a Satmar Chassid. He had 25 little delis. And then there was this fellow who got a job, who was a high school dropout, and he was driving the deliveries to the different orders. So he memorized all the invoices, and he could say by heart, this person has to pay this amount, this person that amount. So his boss said, you're fired. He said, you're firing me? He said, yeah, if you have such a good memory, you need to go back to school, and you need to do something with your life. So he was so upset, he was fired. He was making good money. He got a GED. He got a scholarship to medical school. He became the Satmar Rebbe's doctor. And when the Satmar Rebbe invited him to come to the Tish, he was seated next to the Satmar Rebbe. So he said to the Satmar Rebbe, I want to go get smicha. The Satmar Rebbe was very sharp. He said, better be a roifei chaylim, better be somebody who heals the sick, than a matir asurim, than a rabbi who says prohibited is permitted. So better be a roifei chaylim than a matir asurim. Don't get smicha, stay as a doctor. And he said, because the guy fired me, I saved thousands of lives. I became a good doctor. So the Bezdin, when they punish, they're like the man who fires the fellow. They're helping the person out, putting him on the right track. All right. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Omer. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. Rabbi Chakir B'lem Toro. Mitzvah Shanei Amad Nechavetz L'Mad Tzidko. Yagdil Terevi Adir.